the fruited plains. The choir just sang about that, and we're together in Galatians chapter 5 on the fruits of the Spirit. That's a fruit that God has uniquely called us to portray in our country and anywhere we would go, the fruits of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 2. So if you got a Bible and can find that good passage, Galatians 5, that'll be good. Before the fruits is this verse 19, the works of the flesh are evident, which are, and then there's a list of 17, and they are very dire and grim and portray evil apart from the life of God. But then it turns the corner, and here's where we've been focusing on the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And next Sunday, Lord willing, the Smith kids are going to come up and help us sing that little song that we started out our series with and kind of cement that those nine fruits of the Spirit into our minds. And so we've looked at the first several so far, and if you're new with us here today, thanks for being here. God bless you. There's a little blue card there in the pew if you're willing to fill that out and hand it out on the way out. That would be great. Love, we defined as grace that we give with uncalculated generosity, overflow abundance of grace to people. Joy, the fruit of the Spirit is joy, a deep sense of gladness or delight. Impossible without the help of the Spirit of God, given circumstances that you're facing and that I may face as well. But with the Spirit of God, that's available to us. Love, joy. We looked last week at patience, tolerating delay or difficulty without anger. You have any patience-provoking opportunities this week along the way where it had been very easy to get angry at people or circumstances? I hope the Spirit of God helped you to display something that's not natural but is supernatural with His help. And then today we're coming to a pair, kindness and goodness. The fruit of the Spirit is kindness and goodness. I tie them together in part because there are not a lot of occasions where these two words are found in the New Testament. And so the area for gathering was smaller. And so I'm going to put the gatherings together. And here's another reason. They kind of are cousins together. And let me show you why. Here's the roadmap that we're going to follow. I do this just because of wanting to hang these simple truths on a meaningful direction. We're going to look at the meanings of those two, kindness and goodness. They're opposites, in brief, because that kind of helps me to see, okay, this, but not this. We're going to look at their causes, what God says kind of produces or prompts this kind of fruit of kindness and goodness in a life. What happens when I display this fruit in my life? Their results. Some biblical examples, a couple of them, one in the Old and one in the New Testament. And lastly, an application to us here at People's Baptist Church. We do need God's help. So Lord, give that as we go now to your word, a meaning of goodness. Goodness, that's a simple word. It's basically something that is from the inside out, an internal virtue. The fruit of the Spirit is something that from the inside comes out, and it's just seen and witnessed as virtuous. There's something about this word, however, that makes it even deeper. It has the idea of something that is not surfacey. Goodness is not just a veneer. Biblical, Holy Spirit-produced goodness is through and through. Have you ever had the disturbing experience of getting a chocolate rabbit? And you pick that baby up, and you're ready to bite into that, expecting that it's solid milk chocolate. And you bite into it, and it's got this hollowness to it. That is not goodness. Goodness is the solid state of things, not the hollow veneer. There's a lot of good that goes on, but the Spirit of God wants to produce in you and me a virtue that no matter how deeply you are pierced, you still have goodness there. Only God can produce that because we have by nature hearts of ungoodness. And so the meaning of goodness is that internal virtue through and through. Jesus wrote this in Matthew chapter 12, verse 35, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. So there's that overflow of what's deeply there. And you know how that is. You know how it is when you push somebody and something comes out. When you provoke or probe or poke somebody, does good come out? Does good come out of you when you get poked, so to speak? The fruit of the Spirit is this through and through virtue from the inside out. Kindness, in comparison with or in marriage to, is goodness that's on display. The goodness is the stuff that's inside. The kindness is what shows when a good person is pushed or provoked. It is how I treat others, kindness is, as opposed to how I am. Do you see the distinction there? And that's why I think it's valid to marry these two fruits together, one being that internal quality that God produces, the kindness being that outward expression of the goodness that's inside, how I treat others. God's said of himself this in Ephesians 2:7, the Father shows the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us. Because inside of the heart of God is a heart of grace, it is shown in his kindness toward us, and it's most clearly shown in what he did when wicked men murdered his son. And it's what came out of Jesus' mouth when soldiers pierced his brow and hands and feet. Father, forgive them. That can't happen in the flesh, the works of the flesh. That's got to be the fruit of the Spirit, the kindness that comes out of a good heart. Jesus said, this is what it looks like. Love your enemies. Do good. Lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he, the Father, is kind to the unthankful and evil. Are you kind when people just blow off your efforts with no gratitude? That's tough, isn't it? You put in all this effort. I remember, we've all been there. We sweat and toil to make something special, and people don't even notice, it seems like. Or to the other extreme, they complain about what you have done for them. But if we are going to be like the Father in heaven, as it says here, who is kind to even unthankful and evil, it shows in these ways: loving, doing good, lending without expecting return. Can't do that on my own. I'm too calculating without the help of God to put life in perspective. Paul wrote this, consider the kindness and severity of God. Romans 11, verse 22. Consider the kindness and severity of God on those who fell severity, but toward you kindness. If you continue in, that word means to settle upon, to just rest in his kindness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. And so there is this opportunity with God to settle on his kindness, to receive his goodness to us. And when we settle on that rather than our own goodness, God is able to be kind in return to us as well. And so kindness, if you're thinking with me now, we've looked at the meaning of that. It's this inward virtue, kindness is, that shows itself in display. Its opposite is pretty stark in this verse, Ephesians 4, verse 31. And here's a catalog almost like the works of the flesh. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. That's the kind of stuff that gushes out of a heart or an attitude or a mouth when I do not have this fruit of the Spirit of goodness. I am not kind to others. I am bitter toward others. I am vengeful or wrathful or angry. I clamor. In other words, I'm banging the pots to try to make things right or get even with people. And I speak evil of people when I am not good-hearted. I am, in a word, malicious. Kindness is just the opposite of that. And look at the next verse. Ephesians 4:31 says that. Put that off and be kind in its place to one another. That's the fruit of the Spirit. replacing all of that dirty garbage and laundry that can come out of an evil and a dark heart. What are the causes of kindness in any one of us? The fruit of the Spirit is kindness. Well, the simple answer is the cause is the Spirit of God. We see that from Galatians 5. It's the fruit of only God's Spirit ability. And it's true with all of these nine temperaments, being loving, being joyful, being patient, and now today being good or kind. It's true that some personalities seem to display this more easily. I mean, look around in your own family. We who are parents have children. There's some who just seem right from the earliest days. They have these qualities, and others have different qualities. And we don't deny the fact that we have different personalities. But we're saying that this level of kindness isn't just a personality trait. For kindness to last, or to be offered to hard people in hard times, is a God thing. It's God's doing. It's why I hope that you and I often pray, Lord, fill me with your Spirit, not mine, because mine is very short and easily worn out. But your Spirit lasts. Kindness, its causes is God. We live in a world, don't we, that longs for people to be kind to them, even when they're not. Isn't that amazing? They expect from us what they don't give themselves. And yet you and I are allowed to be ministers of grace when it's not deserved. And that's what this list, I think, is a lot about. Comes from God. What are its results? When I am kind to a hard person in a hard time, in a lasting way, what happens? What occurs? What results from this kind of fruit in my life, kindness? The Bible says that one thing that happens is that people tend to change around kinder people. Repentance. Romans 2:4, do you despise the riches of God's kindness, his forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? Aren't you glad that you learned of the kindness of God to you? When you and I were without righteousness, without even a thought of God, when we were without a record of caring about God's word or will, he still, while we were yet sinners, displayed his kindness to us. And so Paul says, here's one of the things to look for. When you display the fruits of the Spirit, people are set up, people are brought to a position often where they're ready to turn and change. Kindness is a remarkably powerful tool in the hands of a mighty God, a kind person. Jonah is an Old Testament example of kindness working repentance in different spots. Do you remember the story of Jonah? It's a four-chapter book in the Old Testament. It's just one of those things that it's just made for storytelling, but it's truth. A guy who is supposedly serving God runs the opposite direction, and God intervenes and ends up putting him in the belly of a whale and gets the job done anyway. Notice how kindness rears its head in this story of Jonah. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. I'm not going to do all four chapters, so rest. It says this, Jonah 1:1, the word of the Lord came to Jonah saying, verse 2, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. It would have been within the rights of God to just zap the whole city of Nineveh without any warning, and they deserved it. You know anything about Nineveh? Capital of the Assyrian people, noted for their violence, their pleasure and painfulness on their enemies. This is a group of people that would come and surround a city, would wall up the city, and just let them starve in there. Evil people. And they had done these kind of things in the lives of the Israelite people. And so when Jonah heard the word of the Lord and said, go to Nineveh and preach against, cry out against them, for their wickedness has come up before me, Jonah already had a sense, wait a minute, God, you want me to go and warn them? They might have the chance to change, and then what? They're going to get off the hook? No way. And so the story goes on. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He didn't want anything to do with this job of going and proclaiming that God is going to judge unless. So he runs away, and you know that part of the story. But the Lord, I like the way, but Jonah, but the Lord just keeps coming back in his face. The Lord sent out a great wind on the sea so that the ship was about to be broken up. So the sailors picked up Jonah and threw him, I'm jumping ahead to verse 15, threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Oh, no. Time's up for Jonah. Bye-bye, running prophet. But the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. Kindness in the face of a prophet who was running the wrong direction. God didn't have to do that. Jonah, you are not representing me well in front of these pagan sailors. I'm done with you. I'm going to go get another prophet. But he saved him, kindness. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly. Repentance. He had a change of mind. So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. I guess that's better than dying. Still pretty bad, but he's alive. And the Lord had shown his kindness again to Jonah. So Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Chapter 3, verse 4, he cried out and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. 40 days, it grated, I think, on Jonah. We hear about this later on, that God was giving so much room and time for change in these people. It was his kindness. Keep going, verse 5. So the people of Nineveh believed God. Can you believe it? Proclaimed a fast, put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Sackcloth, an outward sign of mourning and repentance, a change of heart displayed on the outside. Kindness of God, by sending Jonah to warn, led to repentance. Wow. Like, just like Paul said, don't you know that the kindness of God is meant to bring you to repentance? Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, verse 10, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them. And he did not do it. Again, kindness. I, Jonah, he's telling us now why he ran away. I fled previously to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. God, I knew you were this way. I knew there was a chance that these wicked Ninevites would listen and repent. I knew they might get off without being judged. That's why I didn't want to have a part of this gig. I don't like your kindness, he's saying, Lord, especially to these people. And the Lord God prepared a plant and made it come up over Jonah that same night, and it might shade for his head to deliver him from his misery. So Jonah was very grateful for the plant. God's using a little object lesson for this bent out of shape prophet, saying, I want to show you what kindness does. But as morning dawned the next day, God prepared a worm, and it so damaged the plant that it withered. And it happened when the sun arose that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. Poor guy. Then Jonah wished death for himself and said, it is better for me to die than to live. What a wimp. What a whiner, right? This is the story of Jonah, the prophet of God. I thought these prophets were supposed to be the best of the best. In any case, but the Lord said, you have had pity. We could say the word kindness on the plant for which you have not labored, nor made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. Jonah, you're kind to a plant. And should I not have kindness on Nineveh, that great city, in which there are more than 120 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and much livestock? Get a glimpse of God's kindness, his heart for people. It's why he took 40 days and allowed for people to change. God has done that with you too, hasn't he? He has with me many a time. And so one of the results of kindness shown from God and from us as his representatives is that people are brought to a place, or can be, a place of repentance. Here's a second result. God rewards people who are kind. We looked at this verse earlier, Luke 6:35, love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. Those are all acts of spirit, fruit of kindness coming out in practical terms, right? Love your enemies and so forth. And your reward will be great. There's one of the results of that. You will be sons of the Most High. I take that to mean not that you earn the right to become children of God, but you display the fact that you are a son of God? People say, you must be what? Are you religious? Are you a Christian? That you would be kind, that you would lend, that you would give? And it gives an opportunity for us to say, now that you say it, yes, I am. God's changed me. I didn't used to be that way. I would have punched you in the snazzy, whatever you call it, your nose. But I am now a different man. So one of the results is that you are rewarded, and in a sense you'll be like your Father in heaven, who's kind even to unthankful people. It's a result that you can bank on, that God will reward his fruit in your life and mine. And it sure does lighten the burdens of people around you. At the root of the word kindness is the concept of usefulness. When I am kind in a biblical sense to somebody, I do things that allow, that are useful, that are beneficial to them. You know, somebody, those of you who are horse lovers, you won't like this illustration, but I've thought of it from time to time. If somebody came to me one day and said, Pastor DePew, you're not going to believe the gift I've got for you. It's a horse. It's yours. It's free. After I've gotten over the shock of it all, the thoughtfulness of this person and so forth, you know what I'm thinking? Horse. I live in a parsonage. I have no pasture ground. There's no barn. I have no equipment. I don't know how to take care of a horse. Thank you. What a beneficial gift, you know. Kindness in the biblical sense is where I have thought through and have responded in a way that takes into consideration the usefulness of it all. You get the point. Sorry, horse lovers. I'm sure you'll love a free horse, but that's what I think of. And so Jesus said this, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I, Jesus, will give you rest. And then he goes on and he uses the word that's translated kindness in this phrase. My yoke is easy. That's the word, kindness or beneficial, and my burden is light. Here's the wonderful results of me simply displaying the fruits of the Spirit. I become a benefit to the people around me. I become useful in that sense. In a world that puts more labor and more weights on relationships and people's lives, I come along like a Spirit-induced breath of fresh air with the kind of useful kindness that God knows is needed in this person's life. I lighten the burdens of people rather than increasing them. So kindness means goodness on display. Its opposite is severity or malice. Its causes, only God can produce this kind of depth, not like a hollow bunny, but as a solid through and through goodness that results in kindness. Repentance, often it's the door to people's hearts being tendered toward the gospel and change. And oh, the rewards that come when I am displaying the fruits of the Spirit. And another biblical example is our own loving Savior, Jesus Christ. Matthew 12:8, behold my servant Jesus, whom I have chosen, the Father speaking of him, my beloved with whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him and he will proclaim justice to the Gentiles. Look at this. He will not quarrel or cry aloud, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. In other words, Jesus in this way is not a loud, boisterous, obnoxious neighbor that just is harming rather than helping. In fact, look at the next verse. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not quench. And there's some word pictures of things that are seemingly at the end of their value. He will not do that until he brings justice to victory. And in his name, in that kind of character, in that Savior, the Gentiles will hope. A God who's like that to the least of us. A bruised reed. And I get the picture of a cattails. Yeah, and we live in a place where those are often around us. And that rattling, that kind of, I mean, there's millions of them out there. What's the difference if one of them gets bruised or broken, we might say? A bruised reed, he will not break. In other words, I walk up to this particular strand and it's all busted up. And here's kindness displayed through our Savior's life. He says, when he sees that, he has a different evaluation of what's going on there. A bruised reed he will not break. A smoldering wick. Well, those of you who have known how to deal with kerosene lamps and candles and so forth, you get that more than others of us, maybe. Where at the very end of that flame, it's just petering out, and it looks like there's no future to it. Just a little glow with all this smoldering coming off him. He says, a smoldering wick he will not quench. Do you like to do this? Do you like to just take your fingers and go like that? Oh, it's fun. Every once in a while, just to do that. If kids, don't do that at home. Check with your mom. That was the pastor stepping out of bounds. But Jesus, it says here, will not, he doesn't think in terms of, just wipe that out of existence. Bruised reeds, what are they like? Bruised reeds are things in nature, maybe representing people in reality who are damaged from the outside. They've been bruised, beaten up, broken. They don't even appear to be worth repairing. And if I don't have the Spirit's fruit in me, that's how I evaluate it. That's just a broken down person. Get out of the way. I've got time with other people that are more important. Do you think that thought? The Spirit of God's needing to help me to get beyond that. A smoldering wick. What is that all about? It's somebody, in the case of a candle, that's at the end of its usefulness. In the case of a person, somebody who's spent, who's lost, who's burnt out. We could say that word, right? And instead of adding brightness to their environment, they are adding a cloud of darkness, just this wispy smoke that just gets in the nose and the atmosphere. And my tendency in the flesh, the works of the flesh, would be just get rid of that candle. Goodness, snuff it out, right? Reeds he will not break. Jesus kindly delays destruction to those who have been beat up and bruised and need healing rather than removal. Psalm 34, I love to pray this and think about it at funerals. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart. There's a lot of brokenness that comes in those days. He saves such as have a humble or a contrite spirit. That's Jesus' kindness coming out. A broken reed he will not break. And wicks, he says, he will not quench. Jesus kindly fans the sparks in an atmosphere of expectation instead of dousing them in frustration. Do you know this Jesus? Do you display this fruit of the Spirit of kindness? That's Jesus' example in some very picturesque terms. The good news is that you and I are never beyond helping unless we are beyond humbling. And others around me and you are never beyond helping unless they are beyond humbling. We've all known people who just, in the face of as kind as we can be, they want nothing to do with it. God understands that, and there comes a day when his patience is over too. But in the meantime, the fruit of the Spirit is kindness. How does that apply to us at People's Baptist Church? Well, a lot of ways. We've already thought of some. Our purpose here is to make more and better disciples of Christ. Our goal is that every person in Newfield and then beyond have opportunities to hear and respond to the gospel. 5,000 of us, we've heard last week, 2 weeks ago. Our plan is to serve others sacrificially and speak truth boldly. You know what? We did that last night together, didn't we? We served sacrificially. Many of us here, we did. We just spent time we didn't have, brought resources, in some cases, that were dear to us. And we had a chance to speak, whether in music or in the word, boldly. Wasn't that good? That was an example of doing it together. And that's our plan, to do that over and over and over again. To love enemies, to do good, to lend when we can. And to be like our Father in heaven who is kind, even to the unthankful and evil. And why do we do that? In part, for we ourselves were also once broken reeds and smoldering wicks. We were once foolish, disobedient, deceitful. Titus 3:3 says, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness, Titus 3:4, and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, This is what happened. In that environment, broken people got saved. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Aren't you glad that God didn't douse your wick, didn't remove your broken reed when you were in that condition? But rather, through the washing of a regeneration, he renews us by the Holy Spirit. That's why he left us here. After having saved us, he leaves us now to display the same kind of things to others through this renewing Holy Spirit. And that fruit we are noticing is this: we love people when it'd be easy to hate them. We show grace when it's not deserved, which is the definition of love. We have joy, a deep sense of gladness or delight, because the Spirit of God rescued us and now empowers us. We have patience so that we are tolerant of difficult people and difficult circumstances. And today, God helps us to be good from the inside out and show itself in kindness. God help us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's pray together as we're ready to go on out and to display the fruited plains. Lord in heaven, thank you for your work in us, for your kindness to us through Christ Jesus. Thank you that your kindness in many cases brought us to repentance. Help us to be a kind-hearted people because of who you are and what you've done to us. While still speaking the truth boldly, always giving time and room for repentance. Help us not to unnecessarily or unduly or ungodly way write off others. And Lord, maybe you're bringing to mind people right now, I know you are to me, who it's very hard to love and to have joy around some days and to be patient with and to exude kindness. Oh God, I'm just confessing on my behalf and on behalf of your people here, we need your Spirit to save us first and then to fill us and to produce what we can. So we invite that in our lives and ask for opportunities to watch you work through us and in us this week. Thanks for loving this people and using us. In Jesus' name, amen. We're dismissed.